Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley Candace here, broadcaster for WSCIRO on Blog Talk Radio, and it is Thursday night, July 23rd, at approximately 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I have on the phone, on air right now, my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Candace. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
That's good. That's good. And in a couple of minutes, we are going to have Caitlin Nana. She's also known as Caitlin Lovestick Nana from Facebook. And she's an ecstatic. She really, has been brought up in the glory of the Lord and has been blessed with the Lord to since the time she was a baby to, be brought up in the glory of the Lord as it was being poured out in Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's ministry. And they're also from Lakeland, too. I think she also grew up in Lakeland as well. And so she should be on in a couple of minutes. But we are going to talk about discernment as it pertains to, character and holiness and what, is what the Lord wants us to walk in, and also, what's happened and what is the counterfeit, and how can we, discern this as it pertains to Scripture, because we all want to be open to the move of the Lord, okay? We don't want to miss it, but, there are many people, many leaders are concerned on Facebook that, first of all, not to quench the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, don't give in to the counterfeit. And we're going to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the counterfeit when it comes to the manifestation of, how we relate as believers to the Holy Spirit and what to watch out for and what have been some of the manifestations that have not necessarily been of God, all right? So, and then Kate's going to come on in there and talk about a video that she had done for her ministry on YouTube, concerned about the youth and how some people can come under a deception that may not be for the Lord, especially how one responds to the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to let her say a few things about that, but I'm going to give the mic over to Jeff, and Jeff has something to say about character development, but maybe I should, Jeff, do you think I should read from 2 Timothy 1 so that we could set the priority about, set the precedent scripturally about the topic of discernment and, the posture that we should, maintain as Christians? What do you think?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Great. And so this reading comes from 2 Timothy 2:1. Verses 1, of course, through 8, okay? Now, let's pray. Let's pray for the leading of the Lord. We want to be able to say exactly what the Holy Spirit's saying, and we want to, if there's a vision that's coming forth from heaven as the Lord downloads from heaven into our spirit, we want to be able to see clearly what the Holy Spirit wants us to see, okay, because it all comes from the Lord, the Father above, the Father of all. So, Jeff, would you like to open this segment of Faith Talks Live Prayer on Discernment here on Blog Talk Radio? Would you like to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Father, we ask for your gift of understanding and wisdom and true knowledge, Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit dwelling in each listener would be activated to convict to heal and to set free the listeners as we talk about what it means to have godly character and how to apply the spiritual gift of discernment to growing into the character of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to just ask the Holy Spirit to open up our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes so we can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, and what the Spirit the Holy Spirit is also showing us. And because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, but we also, when our spiritual eyes are open, we could also increase our faith as it expands our spirit to, see what's happening in heaven, and then we can proclaim it with our mouth, the glories of the Lord. And as we bring the kingdom of the Lord to the earth, and Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable unto you. Okay, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy 2. You then, my son, and this is to everyone here that's listening, be strong in grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from the line of David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So, this is what Paul is saying to Timothy, is that we are in a race, okay, to receive a crown of life from Jesus, but we need to be as faithful as he is, because even if we're faithless, he's faithful, and he wants to teach us to be that. He wants to teach us to develop the filial love. And right now, I just want to introduce Kate. She just came on just now.
Hey.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm in the middle of reading 2 Timothy 2:1, as you probably heard when you were waiting for us to click on. There's a little mic on our in our little office here on the online.
Okay.
So
I'll just listen.
So anyways, so we got to really as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ, we are mandated by the love of Jesus to uphold each other in filial love. And we'll talk more about those levels of love after I finish reading from 2 Timothy. Okay, so Paul gives a good account here. He says, if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. And if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So we got to get to that point. If we want to put in Christ, we have to get to that point. But there are some things, in the glory that we are all experiencing. And, we're experiencing, first of all, a death to self in our flesh. And then, putting on a new man. But there's such a reaction from person to person. It's hard to find out whether or not, if you discern properly, whether or not something that's of the Lord, and you know, regarding manifestation and what is the enemy or of the flesh, because there's spiritual warfare on many levels, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we need to properly discern this, and this is why we're all three of us here. My husband's here to talk about discernment. Kate's going to be talking more about holiness and what God is requiring, and she's going to primarily be addressing everyone, but specifically, you know, the young people, because she represents the young people. Okay, so anyways, I'm going to continue to go on. So we want to be workmen approved by God. Keep reminding them of these things, and this is what we're doing here. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. So I'm going to put my finger on here because the Lord is putting his finger on there. So, Kate, what do you have to say to that? I heard that. What did the Lord bring to your mind when we talked about, you know, when I went over the sentence, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly?
I don't know. It's just interesting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you do you want to expound on that what you talked about on your
video? It doesn't even really have to do with what we were going to talk about. But I've noticed a lot of people in God's presence, you know, they're spreading rumors and gossip about people, and that's what godless chatter is. A lot of times, is spreading falsifying people's what's really going on in their life. And that's kind of what just kind of came to my mind when you said that, and just like a bunch of people writing to each other and talking to people about something that someone else is doing when they're not really doing it, and it really doesn't uplift anybody. It's just, you know, tearing everybody down, and it's like we're all brothers and sisters, you know, so
right.
It doesn't really have anything to do with anything, but that just kind of came to my mind, so.
Right, and we'll probably come back to that, because I'm getting a sense that, you know, when you start teaching on what the Lord's been showing you, how, you know, especially in the content of your video about holiness, you know, the other situations that you were telling me about, I guess we could apply that to the scripture, but maybe now is not the time in this part of the show. So thank you for really, you know, telling me, you know, what you're getting out of this, because it's really like what everybody should be focusing on, how we talk to each other. You know, I just prayed a prayer before you came on. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord. And that's a good prayer. That comes from Psalms, one of the Psalms, you know. And we really need to grab a hold of that and make that like our food at the beginning of the day, because, you know, before we open up our mouths.
Totally.
Yeah, amen. So let me continue here. So they're teaching, so I'm going to go back to what I just read. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, but that was the lie of the day back then, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble purposes. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee from the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. And then Timothy goes on to say in chapter 3, and it's not too long of a chapter, he talks more about the godlessness in the last days. And this is, we're in the last days, folks, in case you didn't know. Right? Can I say an amen from Jeff and can you say an
amen?
Amen. All right. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with the sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learned but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected, but they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So, well, I'm going to stop there, okay? And I'm just going to give, you know, whoever wants to respond to it, go ahead. I mean, Jeff or Kate? Don't everybody jump to the mic at once.
I'm waiting
okay.
on Jeff. I feel like he has something.
Okay, Jeff, you have something. She thinks she feels in spirit you have something.
I do. What we're talking about is character.
Mm-hmm.
And character is actually the unseen attributes or features that distinguish an individual. And St. Paul was writing about the character of God, the Holy Spirit. And we know God is intangible, but he likes to show up. He likes to make himself known. And another word for that is manifestation. He likes to make himself known. He likes, and I'm going to read some of Galatians chapter 5. And the first verse says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that Christ has, the liberty that we live in, because Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And the yoke of bondage is falling back into fears, unholy fears, and sinful behaviors. And then Jesus, then Paul calling us, saying, for you have been called into liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but by love, serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then, if you wrote 8 verses down, he gets into talking about, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. And these are God's character. These are the character of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because they are love. And their love for one another expresses itself in joy, peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness. And when we became a Christian, we literally entered into the death of Christ so that we could be free from sin, so that we could have a chance to cooperate with the Lord to be changed into the likeness of Jesus.
So that's great to cooperate with His grace of the inner workings of the Holy Spirit within our inner man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. And it's so funny when you were saying, I always say this, it's so funny, but what struck me funny, okay, is when you were talking about that, you know, the Lord brought my attention back to that part in Timothy where in order to receive those attributes or fruits or gifts of the Holy Spirit, we got to flee from the desires of the youth, which are total opposites of... Yeah, and when I say youth, I'm not just isolating the youth. We all have a degree of youthfulness, even in our older age. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't always grow at the same rate. You know, our bodies may grow quicker than our hearts and our spirit and our emotion. But you know, sometimes people their emotional intelligence because of the environment that they grow in is not. It's kind of like it's overpowering, so what happens is that the person can't mature because they're not in the same the right environment emotionally to rise above the conflicts that cause them to be emotionally immature, you know, emotionally deficit. So when it comes to the things of, you know, the emotional life, that can hinder the spiritual advancement, so in the things of the kingdom. But at the same time, Jesus says, "Give me your weaknesses, because in your weakness I will be your strength." So, you know, that's where we have to grab hold of trust. But when Jeff was reading the fruits, describing the fruits in the Holy Spirit, and how we you know should be walking in that in a godly character when we put on Christ. The Lord brought me right back to, you know, the opposites, you know, that we need to, you know, we need to flee from. And the only way we can flee from it is by being delivered and giving it everything over to the Lord. And these desires again, and we're going to talk more about this because it seems to be where what God is, you know, He's like purging and cleansing in this season before the, you know, before the release of the Holy Spirit and power and glory happens. Mm-hmm. In the season of the harvest, I'm saying fall, but you know the Lord, the seasons that the Lord describes are oftentimes spiritual. But lots of times, He will take the things, you know, like spiritual season, natural season, and natural in the spiritual. So, but it looks like there is something that's about ready to be released in power and glory from the Holy Spirit interaction within the body of Christ on many levels. And we just need to be ready, but we have to discern where we are individually. We have to be accountable to the Holy Spirit working in our lives. See, the Holy Spirit just doesn't just pour out these wonderful gifts on us. He also convicts us of our sin. So, you know, He convicts us of our shortcomings, and that's the other part. That's the other work of the Holy Spirit. And then when we, you know, are convicted, then He sends us fire to burn these things out of us.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to flee from the evil desires of youth that get in the way of receiving the truth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, like Jeff just talked about, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But, you know, we got to be aware. It says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. You know, anybody, you know, any quarreling, because that can stifle the Holy Spirit. Because you know they are, you know, they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, okay? And I want to come back down to godlessness in the last days. So that's our goal, to be kind to everyone. We have to really walk in the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit so that they will know that we're Christians by our love, so love can be perfected in us, because love can be perfected. But it says, but mark this. This is what will be happening in the last days, which we are in, and what we need to be aware of. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful and proud. And there's many ministries out there that, for some reason, you know, they're like, really, they're into like, where's the money, you know, they really get worried about not having money, but that's not the basis of ministry. The basis of ministry is God's love being, you know, flowing freely like a river from within us to outside of us to you know, help transform the world and bring people to a greater knowledge of the Lord. And, you know, and the degree to which we are emptied, the degree to which we decrease in ourselves by, not by our own efforts, but by the grace of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit working within us, the greater ministry we'll have, the greater that people will be revived around us. And we don't need money to do that, you know, because that's such a distraction. Although the Lord can use people to bless you with the finances that you might need if you need finances, but more than ever, He might just bless people with a free building. You know, I mean, it doesn't, it's not really all about the money. You know, that's from the spirit of this world. That's mammon, and we can't get into that. Says lovers of money, boastful, proud. You know, that's that competition spirit. That, you know, I must have the biggest ministry. I must have, you know. Somebody was telling me, I don't know, it was one of the friends, and I had to delete them, but they were, you know, they were so stuck on leadership and, you know, people, you know, having an audience. And I thought, you know, from what I learned from observing Heidi Baker's ministry, and Caitlin, you can agree with this, I mean, Heidi just, you know, says, it's that one person, you know, Lord, show me the one. It's always, you know, the ministry is always the one.
Right.
So it doesn't need to be a million people, but it's the one, you know, the person that God, you know, cares on, one person at a time.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, we got to get away from this competition spirit. Like, you know, what?
And we're,
know,
doing
what,
it for an audience of one. Jesus.
Yes, you know, exactly.
Not doing ministry for popularity contest, that would be dumb.
yeah. So it says, we kind of really watch out for that boastful and proud thing about our ministry and, you know, how God's going to use us. I mean, it's great to reminisce on how He did so we can, you know, look forward to how He's going to, but, you know, this, like, you know, this aggrandizing, it's just like, it's putting ourselves bigger than be God. You know, we don't want to do that. We don't want to, you know, we want to just be humble and submissive and, you know, be, you know, a friend of God, but also a servant, you know, others, and, you know, submissive servant to the Lord and what He, you know, and what His Holy Spirit wants to do through us. Yeah, so another fruit, and, you know, to know that we are in these godless days, you know, there's definitely abuse, physical abuse. You know, there's been an increase of that, and verbal and emotional, you know, and even sexual. And then there's the disobedience to parents. Ungratefulness, we just talked, we had two shows, we're not patting ourselves on the back, on, you know, gratefulness leading towards, you know, towards to miracles. Positions yourself to receive a miracle. You know, then you talk, you know, and then another fruit of, you know, that transpires in the godless, you know, in godlessness in these last days is unholiness and lack of love and unforgiveness. I'm going to go back to the lack of love. Slander, you know, always people slander with the tongue and not, you know, the tongue not being tamed. The other one is, you know, again, unforgiveness and then no self-control and being brutal, not lovers of the good, but, you know, lovers of evil. You know, being treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure. So we need to move away from this, okay? So we need to embrace what, you know, the fruits that Jeff had spoken about in Galatians. So, and I believe that Kate wants to talk more on, you know, what the Lord's been showing her and where He wants the, you know, the body to be, and so they can receive the fullness of what the Lord has right now. But before we go into that, I just, you know, Jeff and I, you know, we were praying into this topic, and we're asking the Lord about love, you know, and you know, and where is it whacked in code, you know, because there are about four levels of love that we, that many, many Christian ministries, school of ministries teach on, but we found that there was a fifth. It's not really love, but it's like a desire, but desire fuels love. And it all starts with a Greek word called thelemia, T-H-E-L-E-M-I-A. And basically it's a desire to do something. So in our flesh we have desire to do something, the desire to love, the desire to worship, the desire to, you know, just to live life to the fullest, depending on where we are. But, you know, but what really fuels the fire is love coming from heaven, and all love comes from heaven, but then when it comes to the earth, it comes in fragments, and depending on who's receiving the love and what experiences are in that person's life, you know, may not be the agape love may not be fully manifest the way that it should. And the ones that really operate in agape love are the ones that had godly Christian parents that have a prayer life and are open to the love of God governing their family. So the agape, unconditional love, is the love that flows from the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from heaven, you know, to the earth through loving parents and, you know, through a household that's submissive to the Word of God and the will of God. And then the storge love, that's in balance of the agape, that's the natural affection. That's the love between mother and child, or father and son, and, you know, all the siblings, you know, and it's all balanced. But usually it flows with the agape love. And then philia is the friendship between us and Jesus. You know, we're called friends of God. We're also called lovers of God, or friends of God. We got to start from friendship. Every good relationship starts from the standpoint of friendship. And then, if we have good friends, it's so wonderful to be blessed with good friends, because good friends are loyal to each other. That's an aspect of filial love, the loyalty of being a friend, and the virtue, which requires virtue, equality. And, of course, you have familiar, you know, with, it's familiarity, familiar with the person's ways. And so that's why how we're called to be friends of God. We want to move towards, in prayer, asking God to know His ways, okay, to develop that philia relationship as well. So, but this is all, you know, it's just wonderful how the Lord, you know, the language can break this down. And then, of course, the eros love, which is, you know, it's like the lust, you know, it's a romantic, sometimes it's tainted with lust, but even in the eros pure form of love, that can also rise higher than above the fleshly desires. But it's the love that a husband has for a wife, and it grows over time. It eventually can encapsulate, you know, fueled by agape love, perfect storge love and philia love and things like that. And so we're not taking one aspect of love and saying, you know, breaking them off in fragments. We described it that way, but they should all flow together in unity and in balance and things like that. But in our relationship with Jesus, when we first come to that as babes, it can get a little bit sloppy. And I think that this is, I'm going to give Kate the mic. and Kate, just take it away, because you have wonderful things to say about this.
So recently I've been talking to some people, and I've been seeing some stuff around the internet, and just knowing some people that I know, and, you know, not even know personally, but just some people, you know, and they've been really misunderstanding the term of intimacy with Christ, you know. And intimacy with Christ is just the purest form of love you could have with Him. Just where, you know, it says in Hosea that there will come a time where we'll no longer call Him master, but husband. And that doesn't mean a physical husband, how husband and wife is, but it's just how that amount of, like, protection and, you know, love for each other. But it's not a sexual thing. But it's kind of scary, because there's some people that have really misunderstood the term intimacy recently. And I don't know if it's just the devil's construing their idea of what intimacy is, or if it's, you know, if it's just a misunderstanding, maybe from even the pulpits, because there's not been many, like when people talk about intimacy, they don't really describe it very well because they think everybody knows it, you know. And what really is the problem here is that people, when they think of the word intimacy, they think of a sexual union, when really intimacy could be intimacy between two friends. You know, a best friend is intimate with each other because they know each other inside and out personally, you know.
And it's that philia love, that philia,
right.
P-H-I-L-E-A, that we just talked about. You know, they're familiar with each other. They understand. They're loyal. Okay,
right.
Continue.
And they know, and being intimate with the Lord is, you know what he's feeling. In fact, he was talking to me today about this because my message on Saturday is kind of about this at church. And he was talking to me about how, you know, being intimate with him is, you know, when he says, you know, when he says he's our husband, he means that we know what he's feeling, we know what he's thinking. You know, like when his spirit's grieving, we feel the grieving. When he's happy, we feel happy. You know, we feel his emotions. We know exactly what he's thinking about things. Well, not always the time. You know, there's different parts, but you know, we feel his presence. But it's not a sexual union. But these people have gotten it really messed up, and they're supposedly having sexual acts with Jesus, and it's kind of scary because obviously it's not Jesus that's making them feel this way. I mean, you know, and it's like, you know, some of the people, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she knows somebody who just came out of Satanism a couple years ago, and these people get raped when they're 13. These girls get raped when they're 13 by people dressed up like Jesus, and they say they're Jesus, and that's why a lot of Satanist girls don't ever want to accept Jesus, because they were raped when they were 13. So these people are experiencing basically what Satanists are experiencing, except in Satanism, it's actual humans raping them, but in what these people are experiencing with the sexual acts that they're feeling or whatever their experience is actually the demons, you know? So this is a very, what we're getting involved in with this intimacy on the wrong, you know, not the true intimacy, but this false intimacy that the devil's conniving, what we're getting involved in here is actual acts of Satanism, getting involved in the glory. And we really need to speak out against this because it's getting kind of creepy. So,
right.
I mean, I don't get it at all. And then there's people who are saying that they make out with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, and then they're thinking of making out with Jesus. And I'm like, why would you think of making out with Jesus? Like,
right.
I've never once thought that. I mean, and they've taken Song of Songs and they've totally misconstrued everything that the book's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they've used it as a literal sense rather than a metaphorical sense. And it's we really need more teaching about intimacy. You know, we need people to rise up and teach about the true intimacy with Jesus, which is just knowing his heartbeat and knowing who he is and, you know, feeling what he feels, but not in a sexual sense, you know. So
right, and knowing his ways. Exactly.
Right, which are pure and true. So,
yeah.
Not unknowing.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that with us. And you know what I want to accentuate, you know, put an accent on, accentuate, is the, you know, Jesus says, Jeff, do you know in that part in scripture is in Ephesians? Are you there, Jeff?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Paul says that. A husband should love his wife like Christ loved the church.
Chapter 5.
Yeah, chapter 5. And, you know, that's the degree of intimacy, you know, that a husband should have with his wife, but after they're married, you know. And also, you know, but Jesus loved his church that passionately, the way, you know, but his love is a higher love, you know. It's an agape love. It's a storge love, and it's a filial love, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, his desire is to love the church, you know, to be a husband to the church. So, but his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we as humans, because we're flesh in, we have a flesh in divine nature, and our flesh is constantly dying if we let the Lord, you know, do that in us through the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit. We seem to, you know, bring it down to a human level, you know, and we don't seek his way in that. We think because we're experiencing on a human level that that's the way, but the Lord's is calling us higher, you know, and this, what this revival, it, you know, it's moving to it. It's bringing us to that higher place, but there's got to be, you know, perfecting of character, putting on a new man, you know, first of all, dying to self, and, you know, decreasing so he can increase in us, putting on Christ, putting on our new nature, and going from glory to glory. But, we all start out imperfect. I mean, nobody's perfect, but, you know, it depends on what our experiences are. There's a lot of people, like Caitlin said, that's coming out of Satanism, or, you know, they may not even know that they were ritually abused. And, you know, so they can grab a hold of the false Jesus first, and, you know, and but then something's way off. So this is where discernment comes in. And this is where, you know, we have to really pray for teams to be able to address these ministry teams, to be able to address this so that, you know, that they can come into a place of deliverance and freedom where they can truly, truly come into that intimate union.
Yeah, so the men, the young men and the other brothers in the listening audience, it's like when you have a good relationship with your father, it's close. You start to really know your father well. He starts to know you well. And it's just like there's times when you just you just have to be in each other's presence. It gets to that point where you just have to be with each other, and it's like there's a quiet communication of presence going on. And the same thing is true about the Holy Trinity, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And they just want to come and visit with us and be close to us, and they want to help us because we don't know what's going on and what's blocking up the works inside of our hearts. We might know some of it, but we don't know all of it because, you know, we're the ones who became born physically, and then we developed, and we had childhood development, and then we had different phases of growth. And if we were in an ideal world, no child on earth would have an interrupted growth process, and it would be perfect, and the parental relationships would be healthy. But you know, where it's pointed to the fact that there is disorder, and the Christian church is the one that seems to have the answer, because Jesus took it into himself. He is God. He is who the church taught about him in the early days. And because if he isn't, I don't want anything to do with him. If Jesus is not fully human, fully divine, fully God, he's just like one of the Greek deities. He's half human, half in, you know, the Greeks thought, you know, when the human and the divine mixed together, it compromised each other. But when the human and divine mixed in Jesus Christ, it perfected us positionally, gave us the opportunity to be changed, so we don't have to live in the weaknesses and the hurts and the sufferings that came to us just because we were born into this world. Christians don't have to live there anymore.
Right, and Jesus came to set us free and to show us the way to the Father. And the thing that kind of stood out when you were talking, Jeff, was the Lord just flashed before the screen of my mind, New Age. You know, that's, you know, a lot of people in the New Age, they get caught up in, you know, I can get to God, but there's many paths to God, and Jesus, this is one of the paths. No, you know, right. It says John 14:6 that, you know, He is the only way to the Father, you know, and nobody can come to the Father, to Jesus. Nobody can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him, you know, and he's drawing, you know, unless the Father draws him to Jesus, and he draws him to the, you know, Holy Spirit, through the working of the Spirit. And, you know, and there are many people, because of different places that they come from spiritually, that and this has a lot to do with the public school system You know, they got, you know, they're teaching a different world religions, and, you know, Harry Potter's the biggie, introduced witchcraft, and the other things are, you know, it started out, though, with this relaxation and the New Age, the spirit guides. All this stuff got in there, and now, you know, it caused the confusion in a lot of young people, you know, and you know, maybe even some of the families, family groups got into it as a group. And so when somebody truly, you know, when they give their life to the Lord Jesus, they're carrying that stuff into it, to their relationship with the Lord. And so when the glory gets released, the glory reveals many things in a person's soul. Right, and yeah, and so things come up to the surface, and so, you know, that's why, you know, sometimes you go into a revival meeting, it can look sloppy. It needs to be pastored. It doesn't need to be shut down. It just needs, you know, people need to come, you know, maybe they need to take some people into the room like they do in Toronto, and just, you know, have a deliverance team work with them, you know, or
right.
Some might need any healing and just things like that. What do you have to say to that, Kate?
No, I just agree. But
I
think people are afraid of, you know, either one or two things happens in revival services. One, you want to have control, so you're not going to, you know, you totally shut off the spirit completely. Or two, you're afraid, and this is with some people in the glory, people that I really like to follow their ministry and stuff, but they're afraid that if they cut off anything that they're cutting off the spirit, whereas some stuff, I've been in meetings where some stuff's not definitely not the spirit, and it affects the whole atmosphere of things, you know, and the spirit actually gets shut down because people have let in a false spirit, they've let in the demonic, they've let in, you know, spirits of all kinds of spirits coming in, you know, and the real spirit gets cut off, and then the people in leadership, you know, they don't realize because they're under a spirit of slumber that day, you know, and it's crazy. So,
yeah,
I agree.
I was, I don't know if you know about Ruth Heflin's ministry from the camp in Virginia, the Glory Camp.
Oh,
she's awesome, so you know. Yeah, I knew her since in the 1980s when I met her in Israel. I actually had tea with her at her ministry home. Then she prayed over me, prophesied over me, and now things are manifesting now in a good way. You know, I'm coming into that place where she prophesied years ago. I think at that point, Rodney Howard Brown and Adonica were also there, too. I didn't even know who they were, but they were all in the same place. And so now, years later, my gosh. So anyways, so now, you know, like I've been, like, you know, reading all of her books, and one of the things that she says, and we've applied it to our life and been walking in that, is that, you know, you praise the Lord, you know, until the spirit of worship comes, and spirit of worship comes, you know, there's a holy hush, and then when the glory comes, you stand in it, and it's, you know, that's where the intimacy is increased. And but you know, lots of times it's not done perfectly in these worship communities, but once people get a hold of that and know what how to respond in the spirit, you know, I think when they understand that, they'll, you know, they'll be more open and docile to the Holy Spirit. Because in the glory, when it's released and it's, you know, in its fullness, the devils cannot stay in that. They flee.
Right.
So I think a lot of this happens before the glory intensifies. I believe that the grace that's over the body of Christ right now, as the glory is increasing, is that the Lord's not allowing it to increase all the way because we've got to decrease. Because if it increased, you know, where we want it, you know, we can actually see the cloud of His presence, then we can die. You know, and nobody can see it, you know, because it's carrying all this stuff. So right now we're in a grace period where we know what's coming. We know the gusher anointing is coming. We know the glory is going to increase. And the hot harvest time, the big harvest coming, but the Lord, He's convicting us, you know, through the working of the Holy Spirit, and conviction, to point out to us what needs to be, you know, uprooted, you know, the weeds that need to be uprooted. So the Lord's doing a work about removing the weeds in us, so that we can walk more in the character of Christ. And And we can come into that greater place that He called us to, you know, by His Spirit. So this is so important to really let these people know. And I know that you suffered a lot of ridicule cases. That, you know, I am in each other, and I watched your video. I'm like, you know, I'm like, good for you, Casey. God's with you. You know, the Lord's with this young lady. I mean, she's a firecracker in the Lord, and she's, you know, God is, you know, is raising her up, and she's went through a whole lot to get to this point, folks. She suffered in high school. She suffered ridicule because there was something special about her that the enemy working through people knew, and, you know, and thank God she didn't believe it, you know, that she knew, you know, that she had a purpose, you know, and she, God gave a godly parent to his adopted, to a godly family that nurtured her, and she had the right upbringing and the right environment. And so, you know, that doesn't mean that people that haven't are less than, but that just means that we, you know, we need to pray for you. I come from a background where there was a lot of obscurity, but I always wanted to, you know, be right with the Lord. And that's a desire. That's the selenia that we talked about, the desire to do something, desire to serve the Lord, desire to, you know, want to do what's right before the Lord, you know. And that's a God-given desire. Wow. We just thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just getting into some praise right now. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, King, King, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah.
Just move on your, the hearts of your people right now with this teaching, with this reality, with this, you know, Lord, let them, oh, receive the grace to allow you, to trust you enough to, for you to pull out their weeds. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, divine surgery from heaven.
That's kind.
Get him while he sleeps. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord's a farmer. He's a farmer. He's plowing the soil of your hands. He's taking up the weeds. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. The stuff that gets in the way. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I see an ear.
Ears
open up. Ooh. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Jesus, release the Spirit of wisdom upon everybody who's listening, Lord, and upon us, Lord, just to give us the wisdom, Lord, that you have in your heart, Lord Jesus, for everything that we do and everything that we say, Lord Jesus.
New ways. Well, let your ways be their ways. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to you, Jesus.
Let your thoughts be their thoughts. Well, that was our praise break. That was our praise commercial. we have about an hour and 4 minutes. I'm not sure if we're going to go the full second hour, but, you know, for those who visit us on Facebook, Kate, this is a little intermission here. If you want Kate to minister to you, if you want her to be invited to speak at your churches, you can find her on Facebook. And what name is it under Kate?
Kate Extremely Lovesick Nana.
Okay. But she's laughing when she says it because God's giving her so much joy. But it's Kate, that's C-A-I-T, right? Extremely, is it extremely? E-X-C-R-E-M-E-L-Y. She keeps changing it, but as always, Brittany's Kate, extremely lovesick. L-O-V-E-S-I-C. Nana. N-A-N-N-A. Nana. Is that how you pronounce it, Nana?
Yeah.
And if you just put Kate, C-A-I-T, that'll come up, and then you'll be able to see her name there. So, of course, if you want to, you know, watch our videos or listen to our radio, we'll always post it on Facebook. I mean, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio, but it's easier. We're going to make it easy for you to, you know, just you click on the link. We'll put the link on Dr. Shirley Canavan. You'll see a little fish symbol television thing, WSTKITV, with Jesus in the middle because he's in the middle of it all. So we just thank you. And for those who want to buy Bibles and whatever you want to buy that, you know, would exalt the Lord and be used as a ministry tool, you can just visit http://HVH. As in happy victory, happy, deepershopping.com. So that's our commercial break right here. And, you know, we always like to start with prayer at the top of the hour. But I want to talk about the second part of the hour, a couple of things that I've actually, in my interaction with God's wonderful people who are in ministry, the things that they're saying concerns me. And I let them know, and I'm not talking behind their back, but I'm not going to use their names either. And these are the things to watch out for. This is like what to watch out for. And I discussed it a little bit with Kate before we started this segment of the sermon. I don't know if there's going to be another one. I think there is. I think this is going to be an ongoing thing as things come up. But there is... a little confusion out there as to what signs and symbols have been considered Christian and in this glory. It's just, you know, and when people are not rooted in the Word or even understand the history of Christianity, there is a lying spirit out there. And I know where it's coming from because I've known people to, you know, there's a community of witches out there that consider themselves Christian witches. I'm not sure if they're Wiccan, so I don't want to say that they are. But, you know, they primarily use Ephesians as their, you know, scripture to, you know, point to the legitimacy of what they do, you know, with the Diana worship and everything, which is, you know, totally pagan. But they consider themselves to be a sect of Christianity. They actually have a Christian pentagram, which there's nothing Christian about a pentagram. The word pent means five. But I was talking to somebody because there was a video that was sent to me from regarding someone's ministry from Australia, and there's this person standing inside of a pentagram, and Kate knows more about the video. She saw the video, so maybe you can elaborate. Maybe you can elaborate more on that. I'm just describing what I saw visually, and I didn't want to go beyond what I saw. And I actually ended up deleting that whole thing off my page, my Facebook page. But but any time, according to a conversation I had with these people that think that they were doing God's work. This is when I was a college student, even. Anybody that stands inside of a pentagram, it's an act of consecration. And so if they were doing it in jest, it was, even in that, it could bring the demonic realm on them. So I want you to explain to the listening audience just what this video is about so they can watch out for it and things like that.
Well, there's actually two of them. There's one person from the States, and there's another. And this was made as a second video, like a response video type thing. through the video.
Yeah.
And I consider both parties friends of mine, but the problem is both people are trying to very much offend religion, that they're going way out of bounds. You know, I mean, there's a point of offending the religious spirit, but there's another point where you're basically going into witchcraft, you know. And I had a talk with the one person from Australia, one of the people from the video, and, you know, this person, you know, now is mad at me, but I don't really care, you know. But anyhow, the thing is, like, I can, you know, in a sense, I mean, I didn't know about standing in the middle of a pentagram. I didn't know anything about that. But, you know, these people, they're, in a regards, they're trying to be funny. And sometimes it is funny. I mean, the video was stupid, to be honest. Like, it was really stupid. But the problem is, if somebody who's unsaved runs across that video, you know, they could drastically get very screwed up, you know. And even if somebody who's saved comes across it, they could get screwed up. And the problem is, like, I don't agree with it at all. But if you're gonna do that, do it on your own free time and don't make a video about it. I mean, you know, and it's like they're trying so desperately hard, because even the person that I talked to told me that they were trying so hard to offend the religious spirit. And I'm like, dude, don't try. The biggest offense to religion is intimacy with Jesus. I'm like, you don't have to try to offend anything. Like, you know, and it's like when I first watched the video, I laughed because I know that person's, those people's personality. But then after watching it again, I'm like, this is kind of creepy, you know. And then I watched the other person's video who's done a couple videos that are really out of line, out of character, you know, but this person keeps getting corrected by the spirit, but then this person goes back, you know, to doing other, and this is the person in America, this isn't the Australia people, you know, and this person, you know, it's just like these people are trying so hard that they're actually going into demonic realms, and it kind of is like what we were talking about earlier with the intimacy, you know, it's being taken way out of context, and this offense to religion really needs to be stopped, because, you know, we don't have to try to offend religion. I mean, if the Lord's telling us to do something, that's one thing, but we have to remember that there's other spirits involved here. It's not just the Holy Spirit. There's other spirits trying to speak to us, you know. So we need to make sure we're listening to the true Holy Spirit and not false spirits. So,
Go ahead, Jeff.
And you know, and St. John in his epistle says to test the spirits to see if they're from God. By implication, that means not everything that comes to us may come from the Spirit of God.
Right.
So we have to be careful. And what do we? And then Paul elaborates in his letters about how to see what is God and what isn't God. And in the book of Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit versus the fruit of the flesh.
Mm.
And what I heard you discussing with us, Kate, is that I heard the fruit of the flesh.
Totally.
Because you don't offend an enemy, because an enemy may become enraged and counterattack.
Well, anybody
thinks who they can insult the spirit, and they're not doing it in the Holy Spirit, they are opening themselves for attack, attack.
Major.
Yeah.
And then the fruit of confusing the new Christians.
Right.
That's totally ungodly.
Yeah.
Totally.
And there's a bunch of guys. I watched this person's video on YouTube because, like I said, I consider him a friend, even though it's happening. And I've watched this person's videos for a very long time now, and you know, because the YouTube community guys kind of sticks close to each other. And the thing is, there's unsaved because of some people's videos that are linked into these videos. There's a lot of unsaved people watching these videos, and that's what I'm worried about. I'm not so worried about. Well, yeah, there might be young Christians watching it, but I'm worried about the unsaved people watching, because I know that there's some unsaved people watching, and it's just going to give the wrong idea.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, this reminds me of a scene that I saw in The Passion of Christ. That was like one of my favorite scenes, when Jesus is on the cross, and he was it was like a teardrop, along with his shed blood that was being shed for Calvary. And then the devil is like at pits of hell, and he knows what, you know, what the last drop did, and that teardrop for mankind. And it went right into hell where he was, and he screamed. And that you know, in reality, it's Jesus' blood that offended the enemy, put him, you know, and made it, you know, and was more powerful than any of the satanic, you know, powers, and his blood made it display. It made a show, you know, of his power and his strength, you know, to and it brought back the, you know, the mankind, for, you know, to come into the kingdom, to inherit, you know, the kingdom of God and all that, you know, he brought back the redemption, you know,
right.
You know, of man's soul, you know, from the enemy. And yeah, I mean, he made the show. He was the only one that made the show. We don't have to make the show. All we need to do is apprehend, you know, what is already, you know, there for us, so we can bring the kingdom of God to the earth and prepare, you know, and just prepare, you know, this place for the second coming of the Lord. But we gotta invite the people to the wedding. You know, the Lord by His Holy Spirit does. But we gotta, you know, send out the invitations. You know, we gotta prepare the people to receive, to come into that place, and things like that. You know, we have to go out to the four corners of the earth. That's what the Great Commission is all about. And we gotta summon everybody to the banquet.
Right. Well, the issue is here. Is this is what I have against this whole movement, you know, is that these people are not trying to do anything to save the lost. I'm sorry, I'm totally probably.
Oh, they're doing this in the spirit of mockery. That's the spirit of mockery. It's a demonic
and
spirit.
And trying to offend religion. It's like, come on, guys, why don't we try to get some people saved instead of trying to offend religion 24/7? Because those people, most of those people, are going to be in heaven with us. So guess what? We need to go get the people who aren't saved yet, you know?
Right, right. And the thing is, you know, that whole thing about offending religion, it's not the religion, it's the, you know, some people are so bound up, it's because of the legalistic spirit, which is the spirit of control, you know, so that the spirit of control against the freedom of the Holy Spirit, you know, the free fall. But What people should be doing when the spirit of legalism, the spirit of control comes up against the the flow of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit is pray.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Our prayers could, you know, especially when it's united and, you know, not prayers based on evil, based on destruction. Because there are people that, you know, they swear that they have the apostolic anointing to destroy churches. That first of all, we're not, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not about destruction. It's about building the kingdom and bringing unity. And so we have to do it through prayer, you know what I mean? And not you know, mocking or not, you know, it's like we got to do it from the standpoint of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, perseverance and love and show charity. Charity is love.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Well, the truth of the gospel itself, when you're proclaiming it accurately, is enough to offend people.
Right.
I mean,
sure.
You don't need to embellish it by your attacking people or speaking ill of people.
Mm.
Even praying for the president. I mean, there's Christians out there. They're attacking leaders, and they should be praying for the leaders that, you know, it doesn't do any good attacking because we're going to open ourselves up for attacking on any level.
Exactly, and we have that biggest example in the New Testament where the early church was praying. We don't know how long. It doesn't really talk about how long the persecution of Paul existed before his conversion, but it happened because the saints were praying. The saints were sacrificing. They were listening to how the Holy Spirit was teaching them how to pray for the situation.
Yeah.
And they didn't get caught up. There were indicators that some of them got caught up in the fear of it, but you know what? They didn't give in to the fear of it.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, are you talking about when Saul was...
Yeah, exactly.
Saul trapped this, and he was killing Christians, and he was in a place of authority in the government, and many, many Christians were fearing him because of, you know, he was so brutal. And then, but there were other Christians, like Jeff was saying, that were praying, And next thing you know, he's blinded by the light from him, and Jesus says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he had this wonderful conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And that was because of the prayers, you know, and that was because, you know, it was also God's will that he be the apostle to the Gentiles, you know, because he became the apostle to that you know, he wanted killed and destroyed. God just, like, turned things around and turned them upside down and inside out, you know.
Does that mean these people have to pray for the religious? Oh, wow.
yeah, they got to pray. They got
to
be on
their knees. They're going to have to be, like, major ministers to religious.
Right, they're going to just, you know, just stop the judgment and pray, you know, and then they'll see the Holy Spirit move even more powerfully in their life, you know, and
mm-hmm.
things like that. And so, you know, it's just, we kind of just get off of ourselves and out of the world. I mean, the world mocks. We've got to get away from the fruits of the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, just so. And then I wanted to also clarify, there was another thing there. I wrote my little notes. You know, remember we had this conversation, Kate, about, you know, in this particular person's ministry from Australia, you know, another friend who does radio had sent me an MP3. He's a common friend. You know, he's your friend, too. And I was listening to this person, and, you know, when you have a mixture of different things, you know, you're like, okay, yeah, this is the spirit. And then you hear something that you know is contrary to the spirit, because first of all, it's contrary to the word of God. You know, that's first of all, that, you know, when I raise up the word of God, I'm like, that's not what it says in the word of God. And also being, you know, coming from a Catholic background, I'm like, that's not even what they teach in the church. I'm like, something's going on here with this dude. So, you know, and it was like, you know, this person was like, you know, supposedly drunk in the spirit, and, you know, and everybody else was too. They were laughing. Supposedly the new wine from heaven was being passed, you know, out. And, you know, of course people were reacting. I smell an incense right now in Jesus' name. Ooh, thank you, Lord. I'm smelling incense.
That's coming through the phone.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, the Lord wants me to talk about this. Okay. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's talking about, you know, the warfare in heaven, and, you know, about Lucifer trying to take, you know, wanted to take over the throne of God, and, you know, and he was cast out, and, you know, he became Satan. And the thing is, and then he said, but Jesus came. I don't even know if he mentioned Jesus. I put that in there because I just wanted to not go to where he was going. And then he says, he said Lucifer was jealous for the throne of God, but now, you know, that, you know, we bear the light. I think he did say the light of God. He goes, we are now little Lucifers. And I'm like, no, you're not. One thing about MP3s is that you could rewind it back. So I'm like, did I hear that right? And then I played that for Jeff. I'm like, Jeff, are we hearing this right?
The Greek, surely the Greek says it better. You know how it says it? Christos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Which means Christ bearer.
Yeah, with Christ.
Christopher.
Yeah.
The Christ bearer.
Yeah, well, so we're not, you know, I just want to clarify that for anybody who heard this MP3 from, should I say the name?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sure.
Okay.
No.
I won't. But, you know, anybody who's heard about this MP3 and that phrase, I just wanted to correct it. We are Christ bearers. See, Lucifer was jealous for the throne of God. I just wanted to clarify this. There was a fight in heaven with Michael the Archangel, and you know there was all the songs of worship. You know, he was in control of all the songs coming from, you know, that were in heaven, and you know he got it in his mind to take over the throne of God, and then there was a war in heaven. Jesus was the Word of God that saw all this happening, because he did say in the desert, when the enemy tempted him to, you know, in his 40-day fast, that Jesus said, I saw you in heaven at the throne of God. You fell like lightning, you know, O Son of the Morning Star. So he was reminding him of where he saw, met him before, in the beginning of time, okay, before, you know, in the heavens. So what happened was that Lucifer was cast down, and he took with him one-third of the angels, which became demons. As he was being cast down to the earth, okay, his nature changed. And then when his nature changed, his name changed. And what God does whenever we have, you know, there's a God encounter, with, you know, what he did with Saul of Tarsus is when there was an encounter, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. Okay, so whenever there's a God encounter, our nature changes. Along with our nature, our name changes too. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah. And so, so that's what happened, and that's why we have this interference here in this atmosphere, okay? But Jesus came and he took away that which the enemy, you know, stole in the Garden of Eden. Now, Jesus is the light of the world. That's one of his titles. And he is, and because he's the light of the world, okay, we have that light. When we see Jesus, we have that light in us. And we become not only light bearers because we bear the light within us, we become Christ bearers. Mm. We're not a bunch of Lucifers. Lucifer lost his title a long time ago, folks, just in case anybody's confused. Okay. I said my piece. we are coming to, like, we have 42 minutes, but, you know, I just wanted to clarify that. And do you have anything to say to that, Kate, and or Jeff?
I just think there needs to be discernment, you know, for supposed drunkenness, you know. Like I was saying to you earlier on the phone, you know, a lot of these people have been stuck in this one encounter with God. You know, they might have had it once or twice, or they might still be having it, but they don't realize that there's a lot more to Christ. So if they're not experiencing the drunkenness, they fake it, you know. And when they fake it,
That's where they enter the flesh. Continue, Katie.
You know, and so when they're faking it, it's like they start talking about fleshly things. And, you know, I've seen some of my friends, you know, they say stuff that's very sexual, not even regarding Jesus, which, like, we were talking about earlier, but, like, just sexual about guys and about girls when, you know, they're supposedly drunk in the spirit. And I'm like, no, this isn't the Lord. You know, like, and I'm not the person to tell them that they're, you know, in the spirit, in the flesh, because, you know, I'm not perfect either. I'm sure we've all had experiences where, you know, we've faked being drunk. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm sure there's been times where we were desperate that we would fake it, you know. But we need to make sure and pray for discernment that if you're drunk in the spirit or you're experiencing anything, you know, spiritual whatsoever, like any manifestations, that you're not faking it. And if you are faking it, or if you're not faking it, that it's the Lord, you know, and it's not just either you doing it just to do it or it's a demonic manifestation, you know. And we really need discernment. That's what the body really needs right now.
And the question that needs to be asked relating to that, Katie, is what's the source and origin of this?
Yeah.
Is it from me? Is it from God? Or is it from the enemy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the three or four areas it can come from. And you hinted, like, saying people faking. Well, you know, God gives you an experience for a purpose.
Right.
And he also takes the experience away because he wants you to go to the next level.
Right.
He doesn't want you to always have to rely on getting in touch with the spirit to the point of feeling inebriated by the presence of God.
Right.
That he uses that. That's God's tool as a calling card to you.
Right.
And he wants you to go deeper, but if you think you have to fake it, you just stepped outside of what God was trying to do for you.
Yeah.
And you're going to stay in that immaturity and never get beyond where God wants to bring you.
Well,
right, yeah. And he's not saying that about Kate, but he's saying that about people, you know, Kate was describing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I read a comment on YouTube the other day from somebody, you know, from someone who's, and they're like, it was on an anti-religious video where they were trying too hard to be anti-religious, or unreligious, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, they made this video, and, I mean, I actually talked to the person, because I'm like, you know what, this is going too far, but, and it wasn't even one that we've been talking about, it's another one, and this person who, again, I'm friends with this person, but this person's like, yeah, I just like a big party, and I'm like, you know, I know the Lord loves to give us bliss. I mean, I consider myself a lot of times, especially if I'm not, like, you know, doing something, I'm a lot of times, you know, high or drunk in his love, but, you know, there's it's not just all a big party. You know, there's times to war, there's times that we have to intercede for things, there's times for there's many different aspects to the presence of God, you know, and it's like a lot of these people have come out of the, you know, the drug movement, the drink, you know, and I'm talking about like in the natural, you know, drug movement, drinking movement. And a lot of these people, they just want to have that feeling of being high or drunk, you know. And, yeah, his love does get us that way, but there's so much more. I mean, if he's not a drug and he's not alcohol, there's so much more to him than just that feeling, you know. And that's where a lot of the problem is, because these people want a party, you know. And it's like, guys, Jesus is a lot more than a party, you know.
Yeah. I know that when I was, I share this with you, Kate. One of the things I was set free from was, you know, occasional lag. I never smoked cigarettes, but, you know, for some reason I, you know, would do the on and off joint thing, you know, and I did inhale. I just want everybody to know. But, you know, that was not what the Lord wanted for me. And, you know, this is my early 20s, and it was just only very small season. And what, you know, and what, you know, as I was coming close to the Lord, see, the other part of me, the spiritual side of me, I wanted to come close to the Lord, but, you know, what would happen is that I would, you know, if I was in a car with people, they would start lighting up, and I'm like, you know, and I didn't even, you know, even at first smoke it, and then I would just get the contact high, and then, you know, then once that guy is down, you're like, oh, why not? Let me just take one or two chokes, and the next thing you know, I'm like, oh, my God, I don't even want to be here. I'm like, what's going on? I, you know, get overly paranoid. I'm like, oh, Lord, what did I do? And so, you know, after one or two or three times of that, you know, and you know, we, you know, being Catholic, I would go to confession. I would think, I really don't want to do this, you know, and I had to separate myself from my friends, you know, and I just had to just surround myself with all godly friends. That was the first remedy, you know, that the Lord had for me. The second one is this, no lie. The Lord, he opened up my spirit. He whispered in my spirit. He said, "I just want you to know that you never have to get high on this. You can get high on my love, and I because I carry your yoke, you know, and you know, I am the Most High God, and you know, you get high on me. Get high on the Most High, you know." And I'm like, okay. You know, and then I didn't think anything of it. I didn't even look for a high, but it was just enough for me to know that I could just give it to him, and you know, and I had the expectancy that I was going to receive something a lot more, and I didn't really even want the high. Okay, I just wanted the peace to know that I was following the Lord. So when, you know, I started to get more into worship, you know, a couple of years later after that encounter, all of a sudden, like, as the Holy Spirit's coming upon me, I'm like, I'm getting drunk, and I'm getting high in the Holy Ghost. I'm like, this is so much, this is greater than any high I can get on it. I'm like, what the Lord is talking about? I didn't even want this, but, you know, amen, I received it, and it was doing a work in me. But I never always looked for that, because I really wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't all about, like, I'm going to enter the presence of God so I can get high. But he did come to me and say that, and he just sneaks up on me. You know, there was one time there was wine that came up within me. And I didn't even drink wine, and it was bubbling up in one of, you know, the episodes that I had, and it was like, wow, this is really, I'm burping, and you know, one time I had even the spins in my hand like I drank earthly wine, but I did it. I'm like, this is ridiculous. It was like, but God was doing something to my mind. He was making my mind like his mind, you know. But there's a purpose with it, you know.
Right.
And to randomly go and say, let's go to Jesus' body, let's get high, let's get drunk. It's like, well, maybe the Lord wants you to read some scripture. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's fun, but, I mean, there's a lot more to him than just that. I mean, you know, like, and that's what a lot of those people are just after, is that feeling, you know. And I mean, I've noticed recently the Lord's been getting me more sober after, you know, him showing me all this stuff. And it's like, okay, I could miss it. But, you know, like, I know that there's a reason for the sobriety, too, you know, than for just being, you know, that way all the time. Because there's, you know, he has seasons, he has times. And, you know, one thing might be for something, it might be for, there might be something else for another time. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
It's just the, what he wants. I always say whatever he wants to manifest in me, you know, I want to go with it. As long as he's doing it, I'm going to be on the train, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be sitting right next to him, you know.
Yeah. I had a most critical experience when my health was, like, really in jeopardy back in January. And the Holy Spirit started moving on me to realize it. And what I did was I literally knelt on my bed. And I said to God, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I surrender my body, my mind, my heart, and my spirit, and I ask you to confound the wisdom of the wise, as I prostrated myself in surrender on the bed. And what happened in that moment, I had a tangible hug from the Father. And it penetrated deep into my being. And what happened is now my perception is he's just so there now. All I have to do is focus. And I see him, focus, and I can hear him. And but I had to die to myself and give my whole being over to God. And then this was Sunday before I was diagnosed with leukemia. So this is kind of critical stuff. And I had no knowledge of it. Shirley was getting all the insight, but I was just responding to how God was moving on me. And then, you know, without question, the next day I called the doctor's office, made the appointment for the next day, and went the next day for the blood test. Then that Wednesday, the blood results came back in, and to the the doctor called and said, go right to the emergency room. and thanks be to God, there was a treatment available that put my leukemia into remission in about 4 weeks. And it was faster than what the doctors were expecting from their previous clients, taking 5 to 6 or more weeks for the recovery to happen. So he answered my prayer in part, and he's still answering that prayer because I keep telling him, you know, keep confounding them. They're trying to find an answer. And I mean, I've never seen staff so full of joy, so full of hope. I mean, everybody. I'm not just talking about the doctors. I'm talking about the receptionist at the check-in, the schedulers, the nurses, the I mean, just so full of joy because they're trying to bring answers to people's needs.
Yeah.
And many of them may be brothers and sisters in Christ, and that makes it easier for the joy to flow.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, when you were talking about, like, how the Lord just, you know, started manifesting the way that he had designed for you for that time period, because of what you needed, it brought to my mind the time that, you know, I was minding my own business and I'm sleeping, right? And I wake up, I was between sleep and awake, and this is before your diagnosis. I saw, like, you know, like Jesus transposed over you, like the crown of thorns. I'm like, wait, that's Jesus, Jeff. No, that's Jeff, Jesus, Jeff. And then I'm like, whoa, what's going on with Jeff? You know, like, but Jesus is like right there. And then another time I was, you know, between sleep and wake, all of a sudden I'm like, you know, I felt the lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, I experienced Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion was, like, sleeping, feeling like, was hugging me. Like, the paw, I felt the paw. I'm like, oh, my God, this lion is in this bed. I'm like, this lion is Jesus.
Whoa.
You know, and I didn't say, well, I think I'm going to experience a lion, you know, the tribe of Judah today. It was like, but it was like, you know, he just surprises us, you know, this way. And I think everybody should be open to his awe you know, in surprise in the spirit. And there was another time before Jeff and I got married. I just come in from worship, okay, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm laying on my couch. I'm like, oh Lord, I just want somebody to hold me. I just want, you know, I'm just so lonely, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, I fall asleep and I wake up, and I can feel like there's a beard. I was like, I could, you know, like somebody's beard was in my mouth, and I'm feeling the arms. I'm like, that, like the couch became Jesus. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, there's no man here. I'm like, oh yes, Jesus is here, you know. Then he walked by me like, you know, like this, you know, he had a sun on his face. And he's just, in, you know, and this is walking, like this person in body form. And all of a sudden the sun, you know, the face with a sun around it. You know, I didn't see those features. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the Lord. And my face felt so warm. Like, and when I was inside the house, like I was outside in the sun in hot weather. And I'm like, wow. So this is, you know, the Lord just doesn't have drunkenness for us. And, you know, we can't just look forward, you know, I mean, in his drunken glory, he can use that to you know, to get to, you know, to prepare our spirits. But there's so much more experience, you know, so much more that he wants to share with us.
I know.
You know?
I had, can I share one of my experiences? I had kind of had to do with that. A couple months ago, back in January, my two of my really close girlfriends and I, we got a hotel room together. And, you know, all three of us like to get drunk in the spirit and stuff, but we went out and we were just like worshiping at Walmart and stuff. It was really, really intense. But then we come back to, and you know, we were all like blitzed out and stuff, you know, in the glory. But then we come back to our hotel room. The second we walk in, we feel the heavy, weighty kabod, you know, and we're like, ooh, yummy, you know. And so we're like, we turn on, I think we turn on a Rick Pino song and we listen to some of Rick Pino, and then we turn on Jason Upton's Fly song with the Angels. And the second we did that, like, we were all three laying on the same bed, like, kind of, like just, like, tranced out, you know. And then we sensed, all three of us at the same time sensed something walk in the room, you know. We all looked, and it was, like, we saw, like, I mean, we all saw in our spirits. We didn't see it in person, but we saw in our spirits this angel outline. And we're like, oh, cool, you know. And so we start finding angel feathers and stuff manifesting, but then... We turned, the Lord told us, all three of us at the same time, to put Jason Upton's song on repeat all night. So we're like, okay. So we turned it on, and oh my gosh. He came into the room, and like, it was the most beautiful night of my life, you know. And his fragrance came, and I smelled it for like 5 hours. And since then, I've only smelled it like a couple times for like 10 minutes, you know. But this was 5 hours straight of his fragrance. And he was, like, standing right next to our bed, you know, and none of us could see him, but we all just felt his heavy presence and his love, you know. So then the three of us were changed for life after that experience. So then we were all telling our friends that are, you know, drunk in the spirit, too, and they're all like, yeah, well, we got whacked. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather be with Jesus, you know, like, and it's like, that's what I was meaning, like, it's like, you know, they don't realize that there's a lot more than just partying. You know, there's, like, you can actually encounter Jesus. You can have third-eye encounters. You can get lost in his eyes. I mean, how much better is getting lost in his eyes than anything else? I mean, hello, you know.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. So let's, you know, we have 25 minutes, but I think that we're, like, done with talking. I think we need to pray and pray for our friends, the viewing audience, friends on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, MySpace, wherever this is going to be played or listened to. And I just think that I think we should just take this half an hour or 24 minutes, I should say, and pray into this. I want everyone that's listening to this to have these experiences that you had, Kate, and that I had, and that Jeff has had. I want them to experience the arms of the Lord, that, you know, that there's more than just, you know, looking forward to being drunk.
Right.
You know, but, you know, going to, you know, higher realms of glory and encountering the person of Jesus, so they would never be the same again. So, okay, do you want to begin the prayer, and then we can jump in there?
Me?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. I thought you said Jeff for some reason.
Oh, you, and I said, and then we can jump in there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus. Lord, we love you so, 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 so much, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you have revealed to us, Lord, and all your love that you poured out on us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just come before you, Lord, and we just ask that you would just bless the viewing audience, the listening audience, Lord, I guess that's what it would be called. Lord, I just ask that anybody who's listening to this, Lord, that you would just touch them mightily, Lord, in any way, Lord, ways that they never even imagined, Lord Jesus, ways that we could never even imagine, Lord Jesus, but just the deepest realms of intimacy with you, Lord Jesus, and the deepest realms of just encountering you, Lord Jesus. And I ask just a special blessing on the people who have never really encountered you this way, Lord Jesus. I just ask that you would just pour out your love on each person who listens to this right now, Lord Jesus, and that they would just get totally wrapped up in your arms, Lord, and you would just overshadow them with your love, Lord, and that you would just come and, Lord, that they would know that they know that they know you, Lord Jesus, and not just a part of you, not just an aspect of you, Lord Jesus, but you and you in the flesh, Lord Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I ask just for you just to minister on people's hearts right now, Lord, and just stir their hearts, Holy Spirit, and make them ready to hear your voice. Make them ready to experience your presence. Make them ready to know who you are, not that you're just a thing, not that you're just an experience, but you are a he. So I ask, Lord, that you would just show them that you are not just a thing, but you're a person, and that you have emotions, you have feelings, and that you just, I ask that you would just reveal yourself to them, Lord, and just stir them up, Lord. And Jesus, I just ask that you would just like I said, Lord, just come and just surround these people with your love and with your hugs, Lord, in ways that they could never imagine from your presence, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Just love on them, Lord. And, oh, Lord, you have such a beautiful face. Your face is so warm. Your face is so beautiful and so holy. And, Lord, I just ask that you would just, you know, pass, walk by them, pass your goodness, let your goodness pass, go before them. And, you know, it says in Scripture that you shine your face upon them. And, Lord, I felt the warmth of your face and your touch. And, Lord, it was just so glorious. It was so awesome. And it was just so loving, full of love. And it just penetrated my being. And I asked for that you would do that, Lord, for those that are listening, Lord, that you would just walk before them, pass before them, and that your face would shine. Your countenance would shine upon them, and that, Lord, that, you know, whatever glory that they receive, and that it would just penetrate their entire being, and that they would never be the same. Let your, and Lord, about this encounter, it was your love, really, that was very, oh, it was awesome, and it was your awesome presence of your love penetrating with, you know, with the warmth of your love, Lord, and just your, the intensity and brightness of your love, Lord. Oh, Lord, people need that today so that they can, you know, be more like you, that they can put you on, Lord. And I just thank you, Jesus, for doing that. And, Lord, even if on this side of the earth we can't see, behold the wonders of your face, Lord, but we can do so through the, you know, through the brightness of your face. The warmth of your face shining upon them. Your face is so holy that it shines upon them. Lord, that, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for shining your face upon us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you forever, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for restoring the relationship between us and the Father, Lord. And thank you for restoring our relationship with you. Thank you for wanting to make us much more than we are, Lord. Thank you for your willingness to come out of the glory and down into our world so that you could die for us. Thank you, Jesus, for that condescending of leaving behind everything that you possessed in the realms of heaven before the foundation of the world, Lord. And you gave that all up for the sake of mankind. You became a hidden vessel in the womb of the Virgin Mary when the Holy Spirit conceived you in Mary's womb. You became the holy, spotless, unblemished Lamb. And we thank you for offering yourself in our place to the Father and making atonement for our sins and making expiation for our sins, Lord, that we would be free, that we would be free to grow in maturity in you and through you and with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Lord, and I just thank you for that you called us to be childlike, not that we, you know, repent on behalf of our brothers and sisters who are not here, that, you know, they were more like childish instead of childlike, Lord. Lord, just show us how to be childlike in you so that we can receive the glories of heaven through just your what you've done for us, Lord. Well, we just want to enter into that realm, and we just want to be able to put you on. But we need to be more childlike and be free and open to receive. But yet, you know, just trust and totally in you, and not having to, you know, think or analyze it. But at the same time, using proper discernment, but approaching you in a childlike character, in a childlike way that, you know, receives them. That is open to receiving all that you have for us, receiving, Lord, in our innocence, because of your work, because of your ways, you make us innocent, you make us childlike. Mm-hmm. And I just thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Take away our childish, spoiled ways, and Lord, let us put on your the childlikeness that you have for us. The proper way of responding as a child, as the child of Daddy God, and, you know, as a good child, as the child that, you know, is always wanting to know more about the Father, more about you, the Son, more about the Holy Spirit, interacting in their being, interacting in the innermost being.
So, Lord, you say that you'll never give us a false presence, Lord, when we're asking for you. So I just ask that you would just give us your true spirit, Lord, Lord, you say you'd never let us fall, Lord. So I just ask that you would never let us fall out of your presence, Lord Jesus, that we would never go and look for another way to encounter your presence when it's not truly you, Lord Jesus, but that we would seek your spirit 24/7, Lord, and that we would know your spirit intimately, so intimately that we would never fall for any false spirits, Lord. I just ask that Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just come and that you would just be our life support, and whatever tries to get in our mind that's false, you know, that through, whether it be through other people or whether it be through something that the devil's saying to us personally, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just correct us and, you know, just correct us lovingly and show us what the true spirit says, Lord.
Mm. Yes, Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you would just download from heaven the awesome, you know, that awe that we need to reverence you, to reverence your Holy Spirit, to reverence your presence. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
You're all we You're all we want. Help us know that you are here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Draw us close to you, Lord. Never let us go.
Draw us close to you. Never let us. I'm going to do it in the beat. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. We lay it all down again. Just to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are our desire. No one else. Thank you.
back to you, you're all I want, you're all I ever needed, you're all I want, help me to know that who I am. Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you.
As far as close to you, Lord, never let us go. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for being in the same place. Even though we're in three different places, Lord, thank you for being equally present to Kate, to Shirley, and to myself, even though we're in separate places, talking through
Kate.
The computer.
Yeah, and the Kate. And we just thank you, Lord, for all of your listening, wonderful people that you've created on Facebook and YouTube and MySpace and whatever other space that they are in the worship spaces. And we thank you, Lord. And we ask Jesus for a special blessing to fall upon Kate as she is going forward in the kingdom mandate to minister to your people in Alabama, to the young people there that need to know the message that you poured into her since before the foundation of the earth was laid. We thank you, Lord. We ask for your presence to go before her. We ask, Lord, that you would assist her with the holy angels from heaven and with the choir of heaven, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the open heaven that's over her and that signs and wonders will follow her because she believes, Lord, and she is doing your will. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for the kingdom of heaven coming upon her, Lord, bringing that youth movement into the place that you want them to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, let the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be acceptable unto you. We thank you, Lord, for signs and wonders moving through her. Although she doesn't seek signs and wonders, this would be because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And touch all of her friends, Lord. Lord, show them your glory. Your glory in a very special way. In a way not experienced before.
Yes, Lord. And for all our listeners and those we have mentioned, Lord, we just ask you to cause them to desire maturity. Cause them to desire your maturity so that they can become fully developed people of God, so that they can minister in the truth in a solid manner, Lord. Just raise them up in maturity, Lord, because it's your purpose to grow us in us, your likeness, so that we, the more we become like you, the more when the Father looks on us, he sees you and what you did to cover over our weakness and our sin. So cause all the brothers and sisters throughout the earth to desire maturity in you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And at the same time, they can remain childlike. That's such a paradox, but that's what the Lord has for us. And, you know, as he builds up character.
Yeah. You really prayed it right when you were doing the comparison of childlike versus childish.
Yeah.
I mean, St. Paul says, you know, he left childish things behind.
Right, totally.
And, you know.
But then in John, I think it's John, Jesus says that, you know, unless you become a little child, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, you know, the Lord's saying not to be childish, but to become childlike, which is the innocence of being a child, the good child, you know, the child that, you know, is inquisitive and free, you know, in the Holy Ghost, but not the adapter child, like we talked about, somebody that wants all this attention and, you know, and they just don't care. You know, so we just think. So we have about 8 minutes to go, but we don't need to, you know, I think we've actually come to the end of this, but, you know, it's actually the beginning for many of us because we were going into the next, you know, level that God has for us. But I just want to just, you know, say God bless you and good night, you know, and peace and sweet dreams and dream of what? The angels and the saints in heaven. Amen. Amen. So Kate, is it, you want to say a final last goodbye to everyone?
I love you all.
Yes, we do. She
and
does.
Jesus,
she does love you.
Yay.
Yes, amen. We love each other. We love you, and we just thank you, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for the open heaven right now. So everybody,
amen.
Rest, and let us know what you think of this broadcast, and you know, give us some feedback. God bless you all. Amen.
Good night.
All right.
Good night.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, Kate. Good night. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Yep. Bye.